I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway, and it's great to be with you. Parents across the country have gone months without childcare, juggling the tasks of being a parent with those of learning how to homeschool on the fly, often while working full-time. And as the pandemic drags on and in much of the country gets worse, parents are burned out, exhausted, anxious, and trying to figure out how to continue down this road as summer plans are canceled and schools may not be reopening full-time in the fall. And we asked you, parents, how you're dealing with the stress of the current pandemic.
Hey, this is Barbara. I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington. I'm a stay-at-home mom with three teenagers, so I don't need to arrange for childcare, but keeping them off their devices 24/7 is hard. So that is what I am grappling with, how to keep them busy and engaged when there's really not a whole lot that they can do and they can't hang out with friends.
Hi, this is Brian from La Crescenta. What are my plans with the kids for the summer? Keep them occupied and off of video games. Try to keep them learning so they can make up for what they've missed and they're ready for their next grades. And try to keep them out of my hair so I can get some work done.
Thanks for sharing your experiences. Keep them coming at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE. And today we're going to talk more about what parents are facing, including the mental health implications of this pandemic, with Jessica Gross, lead editor of Parenting for the New York Times, and Cheryl Ziegler, author of Mommy Burnout and a doctor of psychology and registered play therapist. Jessica, Cheryl, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me too.
So Jessica, when we last spoke, COVID-19 stay-at-home orders had begun and many people had just started working from home. What's changed since then, other than just more months of this situation?
Well, what's changed is school is out. And it's been out in a month in some of in much of the country. It's been out a little less time in New York and New Jersey, but it's a mixed bag about whether that is helping parents. So the American Psychological Association did a survey, and while almost 70% of parents said that they were relieved that they weren't doing distance learning anymore, 60% they were struggling to said they were struggling to keep their children busy, and 60% said they have no idea how they're going to keep their child occupied all summer.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jessica.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're talking about children of all ages here. I mean, there are parents who are grappling with kids who are school age, with kids that, I mean, some listeners may hear a baby crying in the background. That's my child. So parents are really under a significant amount of stress right now, Cheryl. We're 4 months into the pandemic. Let's talk about mental health. Parents who are trying to manage children at home, the restrictions of a global pandemic, working full time, summer being out. Where are we right now?
So mentally, we are in a state really of crisis. And when we last spoke, we were dealing with more acute trauma, meaning, oh, something novel's going on, and now we're trying to respond to this, and it was new for everybody, and that was different. Now where we're at is we're actually looking at people experiencing post-traumatic symptoms, meaning that their lives have been turned upside down socially, financially, emotionally, and stress is high. So we were looking initially at thinking, wow, this is going to be a year or so of a fallout after this educational disruption, as well as, you know, just change of routine. And now we're predicting that potentially this is years of fallout in terms of anxiety and depression. And let's really not forget suicide as well. Suicide still leading cause of death. And so that is still happening. Nothing has changed there. So we really have some mental health crisis, because we have much of the population that was already dealing with mental health challenges, and now this on top of it.
And Cheryl, I want to talk a little bit more specifically. I tweeted last week asking people generally how their mental health was doing, whether they were parents or not. One of the things I think is adding to this, and as a mental health professional, you can shed some light here, is the isolation of this moment and the uncertainty about everything from what's going to happen later today to what's going to happen in the fall. Does that further affect parents psychologically?
Yeah, so we're looking at loneliness as being a major predictor for how people handle stress and how people can also manage through resilience. And so when you have people feeling disconnected from others, that's family and friends, and potentially feeling alone in this and then being physically distanced, it's really a combination for not being able to tap into resources that were there. And there are some people who didn't even have those resources prior to this. We know that we have a generation, particularly in young adults, that reports being quite lonely and quite disconnected. So we really are looking at mental health meets the lack of social connection, which is the bridge to how people get through things. And so that's what we have to figure out, is how to get people even more connected while staying socially distant.
Jessica, I want to talk about different kinds of family situations here. Not everybody is the same. And of course, I myself am a new mother. I'm a single mother. Is there any evidence that the pandemic is affecting single parents differently than it is affecting parents who are in a couple?
Yeah, I mean, I think to just build on the sort of lack of resources, you know, single parents, even in non-pandemic times, just don't have as much time to get a break. And now they have even less time to get a break, time to themselves, time to rebuild and reflect. And the other group of parents that I think is really struggling right now are parents that have less means. I just saw a statistic that almost 40% of Americans earning less than $40,000 a year lost their jobs in March. And so I think parents who already have less resources in numerous ways are really struggling in this moment. And I think as this drags on, that's even going to be highlighted more. The inequality is going to stretch further.
I shared my personal story with the New York Times parenting section, and so have other parents, Jessica. And there was a recent piece in the New York Times by Deb Perlman, who essentially talked about having to choose between having a job and taking care of children during COVID-19. It got a very mixed reaction. There were some people who said, you know what, I see that, I understand that. There were other people who thought, well, that's a bit of a privileged position to be able to leave your job in order to take care of kids. What does it tell us about the national conversation about pandemic parenting right now, Jessica?
I think everyone is having a hard time, is what it tells us. I think in some ways it's revealing that a whole group of people was having a really hard time before the pandemic. And that conversation was perhaps not front and center the way that it should have been. And now that everyone pretty much is affected, except for possibly people who are so wealthy that they have staff living with them, I think that the conversation has become bigger, but certainly it makes sense that people who have been having this conversation for years about how, you know, parenting is not working for folks, it feels a little bit like, oh, everyone else is coming to this party.
Cheryl, to Jessica's point about these conversations happening before the pandemic and just reinforcing a lot of the things that we're dealing with, there's also the question here of childcare. And I think there's also a question of anxiety around childcare. Do I bring someone into my home? Do I not bring someone into my home? How do we manage, Cheryl, the increasing levels of anxiety with every step you have to take as a parent to literally navigate the day to day?
Well, I think also, you know, I want to talk about that, but the other piece about how people are experiencing this differently is, I think this is an opportunity in terms of managing anxiety and stress and possible discord between parents to say, yes, some of our situations can be different, but no matter what, we are all under stress, and that's all relative. I think managing anxiety is a lot around control. And so when people feel anxious, it means they feel out of control. And so whatever parents can focus on that they can control is extremely helpful. It's also very helpful to their kids, their teens, whatever age of child that they have. And I don't want to forget the young adult children as well, because they're really struggling right now through transitions, either going to college or coming back from college. So you really want to focus on what can you control. There's a lot that we can't right now, but what can we? And that really is key.
Jessica, the section at the New York Times Parenting has really been doing a lot on this. I'm wondering, are there any big takeaways, no pun intended, that you have for listeners that you're seeing emerge in terms of how parents are dealing with pandemic parenting?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are really looking to whatever solutions they can create for themselves. I put this quote from a piece that we ran from a dad who said, "We tried to settle on the bad and not the catastrophic decision." So folks are dealing with having to work, having to watch their kids, having to deal with mental health and physical health. And so a couple of solutions people are doing is they are relying on family to help with caretaking. So that's something my family's done. We moved in with my parents, but that opens up a whole other realm of risk. Elderly people are more at risk for the coronavirus. And so that's something that sort of weighs on folks. People are creating pods of caretaking, almost communal living, where, buddy up with one or two other families and you trade off. That requires a lot of trust in people, that they are sharing the level of vigilance over the virus that you are. Some folks are continuing to send their kids to daycares that are open, though that industry has been completely decimated by the pandemic and there is much more need than available spots. And then as a last resort, folks are leaving the job market, which I think is not ideal for most families, and it is disproportionately affecting women. And so those are sort of, the sort of menu of solutions that parents are turning to at this time, and none of it is ideal.
It doesn't sound like any of it is ideal given the circumstances. We've got about a minute left. Cheryl, in about a minute, I'm wondering if you can tell us, are the effects different? We haven't talked a lot about dads or moms here, but do dads and moms experience the stress right now equally?
I think that in general, this is generally speaking, women are emotional gatekeepers, and so they are holding a lot of the stress of, is my child okay? Are they behind in school? Can I get them caught up? Are they still going to have friends when this is done? They hold that emotion and how their children are doing. And I think in general, dads are wondering, how are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to be able to, function going forward? How is this going to affect my job? So I think pretty equally, moms and dads are experiencing stress, but some of the things that weigh heavy on them at night can be the difference sometimes between finances and emotions.
Cheryl Ziegler is a doctor of psychology and registered play therapist, and Jessica Gross is the lead editor of Parenting for the New York Times. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.